Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Grabe, a member of the Board of Counselors and a member of the Spirituality Committee. Thank you for joining us this morning for our September Spiritual Outreach Call. We are grateful to have Monsignor William Swiderowski, a magistral chaplain from New Jersey, who will be covering this call in place of Father Paul Hartman, whose mother passed away. Please keep Father Hartman, his mother, and family in your prayers. Monsignor Swiderowski has been a generous supporter of the Spiritual Outreach Program and provided spiritual guidance for the program for many years. He will be speaking on an important subject for our church and for all of us. The labors are few, fostering vocations. Monsignor William J. Swiderowski is a native of Bayonne, New Jersey. He attended Catholic schools in New Jersey. After high school, he entered the congregation of the Marist Brothers of the schools and served them for 25 years until his ordination to the priesthood. During that time, he taught, was a guidance counselor, and chair of the religious education department at various Catholic high schools, including his alma mater, Marist High School. He also served as assistant superintendent of schools for the Archdiocese of Newark, with responsibility for religious education and youth ministry in the Catholic high schools. Monsignor Swiderowski was ordained a priest in November 1987 in the Archdiocese of Newark. In January 1988, he was assigned as parochial vicar at Queen of Peace Church in North Arlington and was appointed pastor in 1999. In 1991, Monsignor Swiderowski became the director of the Archdiocesan Catechetical Office with responsibility for religious education in the parishes and schools of the Archdiocese. He has served on numerous Archdiocesan and national committees, including as a board member of the National Catholic Educational Association. In 1996, Monsignor Swiderowski was appointed Executive Director of the Office of Clergy Personnel and Director of Priest Personnel of the Archdiocese of Newark. He continued in this position until 2003. In 2000, Monsignor Swiderowski was appointed a Chaplain of Honor to His Holiness Pope John Paul II with the title Reverend Monsignor, and in 2009, a prelate of honor to His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI. He was named 2008 New Jersey Chaplain of the Year by the Knights of Columbus. Monsignor became a deputy chaplain in the American Association in 2008 and was made a magistral chaplain in 2011. In 2012, Monsignor Swiderowski was appointed Dean of the South Bergen Deanery of the Archdiocese of Newark. In 2013, Monsignor Swiderowski became a member of the Board of Directors of From Houses to Homes Guatemala, an organization that builds houses for poor families in rural villages in Guatemala. The group also runs a medical clinic and two elementary schools. In May 2016, Monsignor Swiderowski retired as pastor of Queen of Peace Parish, but remains active in priestly ministries. Monsignor Swiderowski holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in French from Marist College, Poughkeepsie, New York, a Master of Arts in Education, and a Master of Divinity in Pastoral Ministry, both from Seton Hall University. Good morning and welcome, Monsignor Swiderowski.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be here, even though the circumstances are a bit sad, the passing of Father Paul Hartman's mother. And I thought that we would begin with a prayer, turning to our Blessed Mother, asking for her protection and guidance for all of us, and especially to remember Father Paul, his family, and the repose of the soul of his mother. As we pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The laborers are few. We see that very much in our country today, in our church. Vocations to the priesthood and religious life certainly aren't in the numbers that they were when many of us were growing up. We see great religious communities like the Sisters of Charity of New York, founded by Mother Seton herself, saying that they will no longer accept new candidates. And we see other religious orders and diocesan priests turning towards other countries to supply priests. This is typically, though, a problem of many of the first world countries, particularly in the United States and in Western Europe. In other parts of the world, particularly Asia and Africa, vocations are flourishing. You know, the thing that we sometimes forget in terms of priestly vocations is that for years, many dioceses did go to other countries to recruit priests. There are two dioceses here in the state of New Jersey that have extensive numbers of priests who came in the 60s and 70s from Ireland, and more recently from Poland. Now, of course, many of them are coming from India, coming from South and Central America, or coming from Poland and other traditionally Catholic countries. So I think we have to put that in perspective. But the problem that we face, of course, is the vocations that we need should in many ways come from among our own young people. And because of that, I think that we have to look at the fact that it's not just the vocation director in each diocese who's responsible to promote vocations, but that is the responsibility of all of us as members of the church. We all need to foster and promote vocations to help young people to make that choice. They need to know about religious vocations, but they need also to see the example. You know, as you have fewer and fewer religious sisters and religious brothers in our schools and in our institutions, it becomes more and more important that they, our youngsters, be exposed to the lifestyle of religious vocations, the lifestyle of diocesan and religious priests. So to foster vocations, I think we need to see and develop a culture of vocations, that within each parish, that there are people who are intent on assisting young people in discerning their call to religious life, their call to priesthood, their call to the permanent diaconate, as well as the universal call that we have to holiness. Most of them will, of course, choose the married state. Some will remain single. But unless we are aware of the vocation to priesthood and religious life as something that we have to offer these young people, it just isn't going to happen. But what can we do to promote vocations? Well, first of all, and it goes without saying, pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and to the consecrated life. Jesus promises us in Matthew 9:38, that we should beg the master of the harvest to send laborers into the vineyard. If we want more priests, more sisters, more brothers, we all need to ask. The next thing we need to do is teach young people how to pray. Pope Benedict XVI said that unless we teach our youth how to pray, they will never hear God calling them into a deeper relationship with Him and into discipleship of the church. Then we have to invite active young adults and teens to consider an invitation to the priesthood or to consecrated life. A simple, sincere comment should not be underestimated. An easy way to do this can be remembered by four letters, I-C-N-U. In other words, we say to this young man, this young woman, I see in you the qualities that would make a good priest, that would make a good sister, that would make a good brother. And I want to encourage you to pray about it. It's a non-invasive way to encourage openness to a religious vocation. I have the great privilege of, in retirement, living here at St. James Parish in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, about 35 miles west of New York City in the beautiful Somerset Hills. And we have a rather large and active parish. And our pastor, Monsignor Cronin, who is also a magistral chaplain of the Order of Malta, always is looking for, seeking religious vocations, inviting young people to consider that. We will take the eighth grade every year to the seminary at Seton Hall University. The boys go to the seminary to visit, while the young women in eighth grade will go to the mother house of the Sisters of Christian Charity, who have a presence. We have the joy of having five sisters here at St. James, to meet with the sisters and to talk to them and to just find out what religious life and priesthood are all about. I am currently encouraging a young man who is a sophomore in college to consider religious vocations, and we have several others. And I think that that whole idea of saying to them, I see in you someone who would be a great priest, a great religious sister, a wonderful religious brother. I think that those are the ways in which we can actively call people. We have to nurture through our youth groups spirituality, opportunities for service, working hand in hand with the religious, with the priest. We have to make religious life and priesthood attractive. Show priesthood for what it truly is, a call to be a spiritual father to the whole family of faith. Similarly, there are those who are called to consecrate their lives, women, to be sisters, to be united to Christ in a unique way, to be a sister and a spiritual mother to those she encounters in a life of service. For young men interested in becoming religious brothers, they may be attracted to not only the work that the brothers do in the community life that they live, but also to know what it is to be a brother to everyone whom they encounter. Of course, there's a challenge to us, priests and religious, and that's that we need to be joyful models in our vocations. We also need to be preaching about vocations, talking about it regularly. If a vocation culture is to take root in our parishes and in our homes, you know, one of the greatest obstacles to religious life, to choosing religious life, is the fact that in many homes, it would not even be talked about or not even be discussed. Or that is to say, it would be discouraged if someone showed an interest in it. And as Catholics, if we want to have priests to staff our parishes, if we want to have brothers and sisters to staff our schools and other institutions, then we really need to be willing to see those people, including those in our own families, to be willing to pursue and to discern a call to priesthood. Mm-hmm. And people need to hear about those vocations. We need to pray about it. There need to be discussions in our classrooms, in our youth groups. If you keep vocations out of sight, then they'll be kept out of mind. We need to foster in our young people a whole idea that they need to practice their faith. The whole point of our lives is to grow in a deep and intimate, loving relationship with God. And this is the first step for any young person desiring to call their call into their life. Another thing that we need to encourage young people to do is to enter into silence, which in this technical world in which we live is very, very rare, but very, very necessary. Silence is the key to sanity. It's the key to holiness. And that's the only way that we could hear the word of the voice of God is in quietness. We need to encourage young people and encourage ourselves too to take out the earbuds of the iPhone, the iPod, iTunes, and listen to God, who is the great I Am. We need to facilitate and foster young people to spend some time in quiet prayer each day, where they can become to understand and receive clear directions in their lives. We need to encourage young people through our youth groups, through our different works, to be good disciples. There are some bishops who say, we don't have a vocation crisis, we have a crisis of discipleship. In order for young people to become true followers of Jesus Christ, they need to learn to serve those around them. One of the greatest experiences that I have had is accompanying young people down to Guatemala over the past 10 or 12 years. It indeed is a life-changing experience for them to be able to work with their own hands to build simple concrete houses for the poor who otherwise are living in shacks made out of corn stalks. You know, these young people have seen the need. They can understand the benefits that they have received, that they've grown up with. But it also changes their lives. They have a different perspective. And there, for some of them, might be the seed that will be planted to pursue and discern a call to priesthood or to religious life. We need to encourage young people to ask God what he wants them to do with their lives. He's the one who knows what's good for them. In fact, if they are called to the priesthood or to religious life, it's something that will lead to great joy and great contentment. There's that famous sneaker manufacturer who says, just do it. And that's where we need to give a little bit of encouragement to young people who feel that God is inviting them to try it out, to apply for the seminary, to apply for a religious order. Remember, they have to be told that the seminary, the novitiate, is a place for discernment. People won't be asked to be ordained or make professional vows for many years. In fact, now, the path to diocesan priesthood is taking 7 years. And during that time, there's ample opportunity to explore that call to priesthood and to religious life. Many dioceses encourage parishes to establish vocations committees so that there can be, in an organized way, opportunities to promote and to foster vocations through prayer, through service, through experiences. And it's in that way that that culture of vocation can permeate a parish and to lead to young people being open and responsive to God's call. Those are the ways in which we can help them to discover what God has in mind for them and how they can serve Christ's church as priests, as religious sisters, as religious brothers, as deacons in the church. So with all of that in mind, I would ask you, as we conclude this little reflection, to spend some time every day praying for vocations, to say a prayer for vocations, to look around in your parish and you see them. See the young people who stand out and to say to them, I see in you the qualities that would be necessary to be a priest, to be a brother, to be a sister, to be a deacon. Have you ever thought about it? Why don't you go and talk to one of the priests or sisters or brothers in your parish and see if this is what God's will is for you? Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak to you. I want to just thank the New York office. I'd like to thank Nancy and Tiffany, and to continue to remember that we need vocations. We also need vocations within the Order of Malta. We need vocations, people who will be called, men who would be called to become Knights of Justice in the first class, men and women who would be willing to go into the second class and take the promise of obedience. Malta should also be part of our prayers for vocations. And let me close now with a short prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for calling men and women to serve in your Son's kingdom as priests, as deacons, as consecrated men and women religious. Send your Holy Spirit to help others to respond generously and courageously to your call. May our community of faith support vocations of sacrificial love in our youth and young adults. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all and enjoy your day. And if you're living in an area where it's very hot and humid, be sure to stay cool. Take care.
Monsignor Fedrowski, as always, a pleasure to be with you. And thank you for taking the time to prepare your helpful presentation and sharing it with us. Your talk has addressed a real concern and provided insight and hope that members and others will appreciate. Let us all continue to pray for vocations. Thanks to all who have joined the call. The recording will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, October 4th. Monsignor Robert Dempsey, a magistral chaplain from the Illinois area, will speak on guardian angels. God bless you and have a great day.